Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Why, hello, and welcome to the first ABM AMA. I'm incredibly excited that you are here today. And to quickly walk through, why on earth are we doing an ABM AMA? For starters, Scrappy ABM has now helped about 30 clients build their ABM programs in just the past year. And we've gotten a ton of questions. Pretty much every single day, I get asked lots of questions just on like, how do you build this? What are we doing? How do you actually find success building out an ABM program? So the goal is that we have this weekly session every day, 12:30 Eastern on Thursdays, not every day, every week, 12:30 Eastern on Thursdays, to just create a space where you can ask your questions. I'll always come prepared with a couple of things in the event that we've got a quieter audience. But that said, the goal for today is to get us kicked off, to get this to be a recurring thing on your calendar, where again, as you're building out your programs and you hit a roadblock, you have the opportunity to come and ask questions. If you are trying to figure out how to even get started, you have the opportunity to come and ask questions. If you are just truly racking your head on if ABM is even the right thing for you, you have the place where you can come and ask questions. So that said, thank you for being here. If you are in the audience, go ahead and drop any questions that you may have. While we do that, I think it's very fitting for those of you that may not have attended a past webinar that I've done or a past podcast episode. If you haven't listened to the podcast, we've got about 88 episodes on the Scrappy ABM podcast. It's very fitting that I always start with the idea of the crawl, walk, run approach. And for those of you that have not followed me along on LinkedIn, I have this beautiful baby girl. Today, she's turning 1 year old, and I always reference her specifically. Oh, hi there. I think that we are a little bit camera shy. Anyway, thank you for joining me and wishing her a quick happy birthday. That said, I always reference this idea of the crawl, walk, run approach. So I'm going to dig into this really quick. And then again, if you have any questions, feel free to go ahead and drop those in the comments. I always ask, who is familiar with the crawl, walk, run approach? And generally speaking, lots of people are super familiar with the crawl, walk, run approach. What is always hilarious is when we think about building out an ABM program, what often happens is people are thinking, this is our silver bullet. It may come from the sales team where they're like, our pipeline sucks and we need better pipeline. It may come from the executive leadership team that heard about this idea of ABM and saw the incredible results of 80% sales satisfaction, 80% increase in pipeline velocity, 80% like the stats are ridiculous on successful ABM programs that are actually run effectively. So obviously we should run an ABM program, but if we're just starting, we're at the very early stages, which then generally looks like baby program that has no experience, doesn't even really know what is kind of going on. Don't get me wrong, I love my daughter. It's her first birthday, but like she doesn't know it's her birthday. Like she doesn't have context. She's never experienced a birthday. She's just kind of happy to be here. She's got like a watermelon smash cake and she's just having a great time. She has no context for what's really happening. So we're at the baby stages. We're just now getting started. And we really want to get this thing rolling. So generally speaking, when we think about how do we accelerate a program, what a lot of people will go and do is they'll go buy the best equipment. Because it's obvious that when we have the best equipment, that's what truly makes us successful at getting these programs up and running. You know, and again, if you look at the Olympics are happening right now. Obviously, for all these Olympic runners, it's just because they had the best equipment that they're actually gold medalists. And when we actually think about no training, no experience, no skill set, no understanding of how to build an ABM program and we marry that with the right equipment, obviously we do get Olympic level results. Like we crush it. Of course not. Of course it's not the equipment. It's the people that use the tools. It is never the tools that actually create success. It is always the strategies. It's always the right people, right processes that then create these exponential results. So when we go equipment first, when we go technology first, when we go tools first, we just end up setting a bunch of money on fire. And that's a lot of what ABM is today, is people that have just set money on fire. And again, when I look at some of the research, only 17% of marketers have a mature ABM program. 17%, which means for the other 83% of us, this is our current state, if we've even tried it. And according to Terminus, 92% of marketers were running an ABM program in 2021. So everyone's trying it, but very few were actually successful with it. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Mason Cosby. I'm founder of a company called Scrappy ABM. I help people build ABM programs for the first time that are actually successful. And it comes back to this core root of just the right fundamentals. So again, in the past few years, I need to update some of my numbers, but because we've had actually a couple of very eventful months, I've personally, as a solo marketer, sourced $8 million in revenue. And that's been largely through boutique and bootstrap businesses. So these are low cost, high impact programs. So again, if that's what you're looking for, that's hopefully what I can help you answer. So that said, I always like to level set. Again, if you haven't experienced some of my past talks, if you haven't checked out the podcast, highly recommend that. Again, if you have any questions, go ahead and drop those in the chat here. But we define ABM as a B2B revenue strategy that aligns marketing, sales, and CS. So the revenue team around a set of shared target accounts. This is not just a marketing strategy. This is not just a sales strategy. This is truly a holistic revenue program that gets everybody on the same page around who are our best fit potential customers. In the ideal world, you're actually building out this list by talking to marketing to understand our most highly engaged audiences. You're talking to sales to understand who actually gets the easiest closes. You're talking to CS to see who renews year after year. And ideally is actually saying, we love working with you so much. We want to do more with you. We also looked at finance, and nobody actually talks about talking to finance. But when we talk to finance, we actually understand client profitability to understand not just who are the highest revenue clients, but maybe awful to work with, but who are the highest profit clients that actually truly have bottom line impact. From there, the question is then, that sounds amazing. Who is ABM for? And I've got a couple of disappointing notes for anyone that is in B2C. ABM does not work for you. B2C is not account-based. It's very contact-focused, as it should be. Business to consumer. The next piece to this is just a dedicated sales team. So if you do not have a dedicated sales team, then this is probably not going to work out for you. The next component is product market fit. When we think about ABM and doing ABM super, super well, we get really specific and really tactical on exactly how we benefit our accounts. So if you don't know what market you serve incredibly well and why, you're probably too early stage for ABM. Do have a quick asterisk on that, but we'll come back to that here in just a moment. 50K ACV. So generally, this is a more involved, more high touch, more specific program. Like this is not a low investment to do this well. And again, you may not invest in technology that are hard costs, but you're going to invest in soft costs from time to make this work, to build it out. You also generally want a longer sales cycle so you can actually build some of those pipeline acceleration programs and truly focus on the expansion within the relationships of the account. You're also ideally going to have a significant expansion motion. We don't want necessarily just like a one-time sale. We don't want to land. We want a land and expand type motion. And then lastly, just a clear market focus for target accounts. So again, we have a lot of companies that we've worked with or that I've helped in the past few years that aren't vertical specific. They are very problem specific. So they work with a lot of different companies, but they have the ability to say, we work really well with this vertical. And as a result, we could build a program there. Speaking of verticals, that's the asterisk on product market fit and ACV, which stands for average contract value. If you are a company that works with a dedicated vertical, meaning a dedicated industry, you should likely be running ABM regardless. I'm talking with a company right now that they've got a proposal in hand and they work exclusively with school districts that are managing middle school curriculum. That's it. Like super specific. There are 15,000 middle schools in the US, if you included public schools and private schools, but they only work with a specific subset of those middle schools that have a class elective for career exploration. So you're looking for middle schools in the U.S. with a career exploration class that is such a specific subset of subset that they shouldn't be running anything else besides ABM. Another client of ours worked in the utility manufacturing or the utility space for government-run utilities and had a compliance software. They had a total addressable market of 500 total companies. ABM doesn't is the only thing that really makes sense in that context. So again, if you've got a clear market focus and a clear vertical focus, huge opportunity for you to run an ABM program. So this is where I would like to focus. And again, if anybody has any questions, feel free to drop your questions in the chat. But as far as why does ABM fail? ABM fails for these core three reasons. We'll camp out here for the rest of our time, unless anybody has any specific questions. But if you go Google, why does ABM fail? There's lots of research from companies like ITSMA that outline the number one reason is a lack of sales and marketing alignment. A couple of examples here would just be, again, marketing says we need to engage more leads. We need to engage more right fit potential customers. And sales says we need more leads as well. Like we would love more leads. And when marketing says leads, they mean like contacts generated. And when sales says leads, they mean opportunities in the pipeline. So again, in that context, we're using the same word, but we mean different things. And as a result, we're speaking a different language. So that's one component to misalignment. I've also been hearing a lot from some of the clients that we're starting to work with that their sales teams are actually compensated less if they were to engage in an ABM program because they're compensated based on the number of deals that they close. And there's these other like bad fit kinds of customers that show a horrible lifetime value over the long term, but they're easier to close in the short term. So as a result, they're getting more actually commissions. And then from there, it ends up hurting the business. So there's misalignment at a business level objective because marketing is delivering these right fit accounts that have a high lifetime value, but sales doesn't want to close them because they make less money. So again, in that context, there's complete misalignment. Next would then just be the lack of dedicated resources. To go ahead and answer some questions, yes, this will be available later to watch. This will be living on LinkedIn forever. And in addition, we will re-release this on the Scrappy ABM podcast, which you can find on Apple and Spotify and all those places. Back to the reasons ABM fails, it's a lack of dedicated resources. So what will often happen, and the worst thing that can happen today is if you listen to this and you're like, I love the idea of ABM, I should go build that. And you're going to go throw it at a marketing manager and say, hey, can you go build or can you go do ABM? Same thing happens with SEO. Can you go do SEO? And now we have somebody that has been assigned something that they are accountable to, but have really no authority to actually create the change that is necessary for ABM. Again, let's go back to that commission component, a compensation structure component. No marketing manager has the ability to influence or sway on their own the commission structure and the compensation structure of their sales teams. But in order to actually align marketing and sales, there may need to be a change on the compensation structure. But if you've only dedicated a marketing manager to build your ABM program, again, they have accountability to build ABM without the authority to create organizational change. And as a result, they're destined to fail. From there, generally what's going to happen is they're going to just kind of say, hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? And I want to be super clear, most people, when they're assigned a new opportunity, when they're assigned a new initiative, they get a little bit excited because it's exciting. Like you have the opportunity to grow in your career, to make an impact. So you're going to do your best, obviously, but you were set up to fail from the beginning. And as a result, either ABM dies and is viewed as this thing that's kind of a cuss word internally moving forward because we tried ABM and it never worked when it was always destined to fail in the beginning. Or the other thing that happens a lot, unfortunately, is people get let go because they were assigned this task that was an impossible task. And then when they clearly didn't succeed on an impossible task, they were let go for it. So again, that's the lack of dedicated resources. You have to have somebody that truly owns ABM from beginning to end that can facilitate that organizational change. They've got to have executive buy-in and then actually can foster the strategy and coordinate this cross-functional program. And then lastly, and Christina will actually get to the unrealistic expectations here in just a moment. It's super hard to measure. So on the ABM, Scrappy ABM podcast, I started with somebody about building out an engagement model for their account-based marketing program. And they were looking at how do they factor in third-party intent data and second-party partner data and first-party engagement data, and then weight that differently based on who is engaging within the context of the buying committee. And then also marry that up with your firmographic information around revenue and industry and employee count and actual company growth. In factoring all those pieces together to then build out the account scoring model. And I said, that's amazing. How do you do that? He said, first step, go talk to your data science team. I don't know about you. I've never worked with a company that had a data science team that was just like on hand. If that's how we expect to measure ABM, we're going to be set up for failure. It's super hard to measure. So again, the goal here is actually to create smaller, bite-sized approaches to how we measure success. And it could just be they came to our website and we've used tools to de-anonymize our website traffic. They viewed our product page, our pricing page, and our schedule a call page. And we got them into a meeting. And that's a win. It could be, hey, they are showing third-party intent, but they've never shown any kind of first-party engagement. We're going to run some kind of a marketing program to generate awareness that we exist and that we should be a part of their buying decision. So if they've gone from exclusively third-party intent to then third-party plus first-party engagement, that might be the win, that they know that you exist. So again, it's now creating measurement capabilities that aren't this super complex scoring model, but are based on we have intended actions that we want our accounts to take. Did they take those actions? And that's how you can start to measure some early success in the context of an ABM program. In next week's episode, we'll actually dig into some practical ways that you can start to build out what we refer to as activation playbooks that help you address all three of these problems. But we've got some questions in the chat that I'd love to go ahead and start addressing. And the first question is just, what do we do about unrealistic expectations? I'm super glad you asked. This is one of the greatest challenges in the context of ABM because there are no unified or simplified benchmarks. So again, as I even rattled off some of the statistics at the beginning, that's 17% of marketers that feel they have a successful ABM program. Admittedly, that's survey data that is based on how they feel about it. And I know some marketers that are incredibly hard on themselves that likely have actually a more successful program than they recognize. But because it hasn't met the like 80% pipeline ACV increase, then they feel like they've failed when in reality, they probably actually are doing much better. So there's that side. And then the flip side is we have marketers that actually feel like they're doing really well when they actually aren't. They're delivering on the exact same level that a standard demand gen program would do, but they've now significantly shrunk the size of the targeting from their audience. So again, they're actually delivering less. Their percentages hold, but they're delivering less. So again, I think one of the greatest challenges in the context of these unrealistic expectations is because there's not a unified measurement around all these different programs that are being run. That's why I like companies like ForgeX that are trying to create a unified approach to how we actually measure success. So that said, how do you address it? First, I would, again, just do your darndest to reset expectations, which would be something to the extent of, hey, our marketing and our sales team have never actually worked together. We should probably build some kind of a simplified program that just gets them doing anything together. So that's the first component. A second component would just be more clearly elaborating. ABM probably won't deliver any differently on the front end. It's just going to be more intentional. So if we were to have actually less time spent on disqualifying, but what if we had more time, even though it's a lower volume, what if we just had more time to create better personalized proposals that may close at a higher rate? And we're going to benchmark this program that we're going after based on our current metrics of the conversion rates, pipeline velocity, and average deal sizes. And if that is still a win, then we should absolutely try this. If it's not a win, that's okay. But then we're probably not ready to give this a shot. So I would try to address expectations on the front end that ABM likely will not deliver any differently. And I just like to keep low expectations. I'll give you a quick example. Very practically is like we're investing at our organization a lot in a new service line, and it's going to take a while to build out. And I have no expectations that it would deliver any revenue until 2026. And that sounds insane, but I just keep low expectations. And then I'm pleasantly surprised if it does anything sooner. So that is the approach. If even that, again, just having constant conversations around current metrics of success, that this is an experiment, that there's going to be a lot of trial and error, and that we shouldn't expect this to deliver immediately. If those don't work, there is a cultural component to any kind of organizational shift. And it just might be that your organization does not have the culture to build ABM. As much as I love ABM as a strategy, I'm finding more and more that there is a cultural component that you have to have a culture of collaboration. And if that isn't in place, then ABM probably isn't the right fit for you and should likely continue in a siloed approach and maybe start sending out some resumes. Great question. Any other questions in the chat? All right. If there's no other questions for today, we'll see you back here next week. Again, this will just be a part of the Scrappy ABM company page, and we'll be here every Thursday at noon Eastern time. And again, if you have any other questions that you'd like to ask throughout the week, oh, another question. So thank you, Christina. Any examples of one to few campaigns that have performed super well? I've got a couple of examples. When I am thinking through some of the past programs that I've run, thought process, I like to approach as a scrappy perspective. Again, this is not for everybody, but when I build out programs and what we recommend is that you generally start more like vertical specific or problem specific, and then you get more personalized down the funnel that they go. One of the most successful one to few programs that I ran was when I was at another agency and we sold websites. And I called a program called Fix Your Site from Search to Sale, in which we did live website reviews for every single person that submitted a website. It was a one to few program in the context that we specifically only invited our right fit target accounts directly that we already had seen some form of engagement with previously as a re-engagement component to ensure that they actually attended the webinar and submitted their website for a review. Once they had done that, so the one to few component is, hey, attend this thing and submit your website for a review. If you submit your website, I guarantee we'll review it. And what that did is, again, for those that thought they had a poor website and had engaged with us previously, they submitted it and they were giving us the invitation to actually critique and provide essentially free consulting on how we could improve it. And then from there, we actually transitioned that one to few into a one to one. And I did personalized website reviews. It took me about 40 hours. That was about an hour per website, where I did a homepage teardown and then an SEO audit on the back end and helped them understand all the ways that they were currently struggling with their current website, and just provided some statistics that were generalized industry benchmarks around like conversion optimization based on their homepage or that they had unclear messaging. And again, as a result, it then created, we sent out 40 generally, we got 8 new clients on a quarterly basis, and I just ran that every single quarter. And that was one of our kind of tentpole programs that we use to generate lots and lots of revenue. So that's one approach. And again, in the context of one to few, I think of one to few as generally 20 to 100 accounts. So you just get really vertical specific. Another quick example is we had a client that released an integration with SAP. So we found all the accounts that they were already customers or that were already SAP customers that were in their vertical. And as a result, we then did a one to few program that provided exact benefits for that vertical plus. And then I call it the FAQ ABM program, where essentially we look at what the sellers are frequently asked in their sales processes and then actually create content that's largely middle of funnel, bottom of funnel content and blog pieces and also enablement that directly addresses all their FAQs. And then we have our one essentially massive like landing page that's an educational pitch page. At the bottom, we have the FAQ section that summarizes all their questions and links out to deeper dive content, which then also informs the outbound sequence that is based on the different signals that we've already seen that these SAP customers have already had awareness of that client. So again, all of those are different one to few programs that work as a partner program. They work as a re-engagement program, but hopefully those are a couple of helpful examples. And again, at the end of the day, I like to view it as one-to-many programming should be that they don't know that we exist and the goal is to generate awareness. Once they know that we exist, we can validate that and what they're currently engaging with. You build out one-to-few programs that take them to next step content, and inevitably you get into one that's largely conversion-based programming with the goal of getting a meeting booked. Great question. Any other questions? Glad to see that we've got some people that want to invite their boss to this next week. So we'll be here. Awesome. Again, thank you guys so much for being here today. Thank you for the few questions that we did get. Again, we'll be doing this every single week so that you've got a place where you can ask your questions. If you've got questions that you answered next week, go ahead and submit those to me in advance. You can just shoot me a message on LinkedIn or email me at mason@scrappyabm.com. And we'll see you in the next one. Thanks. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.